Hallelujah. So, I'm discussing with us today on what I titled The Fire of the Holy Ghost and Strange Fire. The Fire of the Holy Ghost and Strange Fire. The Fire of the Holy Ghost and Strange Fire. The power of the Holy Ghost and strange fire. I want to start off on this note. You see, as a believer, that last year during WCC, Pastor Shekel said something. When, why taking us on? Is it the Holy Ghost? Or is it the spirit or the flesh? He said something. He said, no action is neutral. You must know that no action is neutral. There's nothing as normal action. It's just a normal thing. It's just a normal action. No. No action is neutral. You know, some people, they are, you hear some people say, it's just my nature. That is how I'm wired. That is how I respond to situations. That's how I respond to criticism. That's how I respond to pressure. No. And then I've seen it. It's my father was like that. My great grandfather was like that. So it's in our lineage. There is nothing like normal situation. There's nothing like neutral. There's nothing like that is how I'm wired. Hallelujah. No action is neutral. No action is neutral. Hallelujah. You see, it's something we should come to know. As in, note it. No action is neutral. No. No. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I was walking and walking, and then I just did like this and I insulted somebody. It's just neutral. There's no neutral action. I just did it neutrally. There was nothing in my mind. No action is neutral. You are born of God. No action is neutral. And that is why at every point in time, I must ask myself, is this the fire of the Holy Ghost? Or is it a strange fire? I must ask myself at every point, is it the fire of the Holy Ghost? Or is it a strange fire? Hallelujah. This man said, I'm a child of God. Everything the child of God does is inspired by the Holy Ghost. No. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. A child of God can yield to the devil. A child of God can yield to the flesh. A child of God can have strange fire. Strange fire. If I let me take it higher, a G.O. can have strange fire. Don't say, he has been serving the Lord for years. He cannot. No, he can yield. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why we are taught the way we are taught. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and said to them, all authority that is power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore make disciples of every nation. Say, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I say, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So Jesus, as we said yesterday, asked us to raise disciples via teaching. Hallelujah. And in teaching, the teaching will be from Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. So we are taught to know. Part of what we are taught to is to know at every situation, what am I? We're going to see that. At every situation, we are taught to know, is this the work of the Spirit? Is this, do you understand me? The work of the flesh. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul to Timothy. He says, from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, your Bibles, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That word doctrine is what the daskalia. The daskalia. Teaching, explanation. He says, all Scriptures. All Scriptures of Genesis to Malachi, right, are given for what? Doctrine.
that came from what doctrine. That word doctrine is not the way we do things in our church. No. Doctrine is the word didaskalia. That word didaskalia means explanation, teaching. Hallelujah. The Bible is not for quoting. The Bible is to be taught. Hallelujah. It's given for teaching. It says,
for teaching, for reproof. That is to say, that word, the way it's constructed, the word proves, meaning teaching will bring about reproof.
Hallelujah. Reproof is the word evidence. Evidence.
Reproof will bring about correction.
Epatheosis. Correction. And what? Instruction in righteousness,
which is spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verses 17, I said that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. In chapter 4, verse 1, he now tells him, which is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and I said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Hallelujah. At his appearing in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that you do. Preach the word. Preach the word. He said, be ready in season and out of season. Say, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Hallelujah. Furthermore, Paul tells Timothy that when the word is taught, the same Genesis, when it tells him preach the word, it will be Genesis towards to Malachi, which is the scriptures, right? Now tell him what is taught, it will bring, you'll find conviction, you find rebuke, you have, you'll find exaltation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You find conviction, exaltation. Now, what Paul is making us see is the fact that when he says scripture, referring to Genesis down to Malachi, he's telling you that everything should be taught. Everything should be taught. Everything. So we'll find corrections. Correction to attitudes, corrections to what we know, corrections to how we apply scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So the scripture will correct us. The scripture will rebuke us. The scripture will instruct us when taught. Hallelujah. And all of these are for what? Spiritual groups. It says paideia. Hallelujah. Paideia is that word used in Ephesians 6 verse 4 for a child and father relationship. Hallelujah. That's the word nurture. You find it also in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5. Hebrews 12 verse 5. That is the word chastening. Hallelujah. Chastening. It's a word. Means, that word chastening means to correct with words. To correct a child. How you correct a child with words, not with cane. Hallelujah. No kubu with words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Correct with words. So the scripture is for teaching, and teaching will bring about what? Rebuke, correction, conviction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Paul also in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, quickly. Romans 15, 4. It says, the things, whatever things were written afore.
Whatever things were written afore. That word afore makes reference to Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Make reference to the scripture. Whatever things were written afore. That word afore will make reference to what he was teaching with. Are you hearing me? So they were written afore. He said, were written for our words, for our learning. Hallelujah. So we don't discard things in the scriptures. No, we don't. He said, they are written for our learning. They were documented not for genealogy, not for Bible story, not for CBN Bible story. Those of us who are Sunday school children. You are still talking about this. Hallelujah. You are Sunday school children. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, whatever thing they're written for, they're written for our learning. Not story book, not make me every child like
make me every child do not do not do
not. Hallelujah. 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 So, it's not my story. Where some people begin to act in movies, they say they are calling in the Lord. It's to start up theater. And they're going from class to class, acting theater. Hallelujah. So, let's want to act Samson today. Hallelujah.
No.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 It says they were written for our learning. That we, through the patience and comfort of scripture, may have hope.
They were written for that word learning is the same word didaskalia. Hallelujah. We're written for our learning. We're written for us to teach from. For us to get corrected with.
We're written for our learning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. Very important.
We do not have stories. You know what I mean? Stories. It's not a tales by moonlight. Bible, you know, scriptures is not tales by moonlight. For we see that man drunk, the man says, no, there is a man. Children, yes, daddy. There is a man called Abraham. He has two children. One name is Ishmael, the other one's name is Isaac. Have you learned something today? Yes. What did you learn? Abraham has two children. No. Hallelujah. No. That is written for our learning. So the Bible is not a mere book of story, not a mere book of history. No. It's not a mere book of history. Hallelujah.
We have things written for us to learn from. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
They are inspired for our learning. The Bible is inspired for our learning. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired for our learning. Look at how Paul will relate an event in the Old Testament and used it as a learning point for the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 10. Look at what Paul did. The church at Corinth was a church where they were given to strife, envy, walk in the flesh. They were walking in the flesh. The long and short of it, right? The summation of it that they were given to the flesh. They were walking carnally. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1, he said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes. Right?
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, where there is strife and envy, he said, are you not carnal and walk like mere men? Meaning, when a believer is given to the walk to the lust in the flesh, when a believer is walking in the flesh, he's not different from an unbeliever in conduct. There is that he's not different from an unbeliever in conduct, though he's still born again. But Paul still made us say that we are sanctified. Hallelujah. Are you following me? We are with the God, we are sanctified. That's 1 Corinthians 6, we are sanctified. But yet, when a believer begins to walk in the flesh, begins to give heed to the things of the flesh, it's not different from an unbeliever in conduct. Are you following me? So in chapter 10, look at verses 11. Look outside from verse 9. It says, from verse 5. Look at what I'm going on. From verse 5. He said, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. He was referring to those who followed Moses. Right? Now he was trying, he's correcting them. God was not well pleased. He said, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Did you see that? He said, now these things become our example to the intent that we should not lust over the things. Lost after evil things as they also lusted. Did you see that? Right? That's verse 6. He said, they have become for us an example, a learning point that we should not lust. Those guys were not saved. Right? But yet, they became an example to us who are saved, that we should not lust over evil things in conduct. Are you following? Hallelujah.
Look at verse 6. Verse 7. And do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play idol worship. They worshipped their appetites. They worshipped themselves. So idol worship is not just sitting to worship another god. When a man begins to worship his intellect, begin to worship things and generous at me and give things place over God, that person is into idol worship. Are you hearing me? Is into idol worship. Are you hearing me? So they sat and they play. Verse 8, he said, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Verse 9, nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted. And they were destroyed by the serpent. How did they tempt Christ? That word tempt there is to pressure to do what you're not supposed to do. Hallelujah. He said, do not tempt Christ. Do not pressure someone to do what is not supposed to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, do not tempt Christ. Meaning, as a believer, you can tempt. Unfortunately, do what you're supposed to do. Kill him, Lord. Kill him, Lord. Kill him, Lord. Let me die now, Lord. He doesn't care. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Glory to God. Verse 10, it said, not complain, as some of them also complain, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. He's addressing the attitude they have. And where is he addressing it from? From the event in the Old Testament. You see, it's not a mere story. It has become to us what? An example to follow, to live by. It has become for us a learning curve. Look at verse 11. Now all these things happen to them as examples. That word example means it has happened to them, meaning it can happen again. Hallelujah. That's what it implies. Since it has happened before, it can happen again. Are you following me? Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says, as examples. And they were written for our admonition. Upon whom the end of the age has come, our admonition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were waiting for our admonition. Our instruction. Upon whom the ends of the age have come. Are you following that? They are waiting for our own warning. So we are warned. Someone will ask the question, and I'm not asking, were they Christians? That question is unnecessary. What is necessary in that situation is the fact that they lied. And what happened? They died. So I see God that killed them, lied, tested your pastor, blessed you. But they become for us what? An example. Are you following me? Or do you want to lie? An example. They died. Are you following me? They died. Why? Because they lied. They told lies. What is that an example that we should lie? Are you following that? What? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nothing is neutral. Either it's by the Holy Ghost or straight fire. Are you following me? Is that the fire of the Holy Ghost or what? Strange fire. So we must be able to point out actions that we have in the day. Is this one by the Holy Ghost? No, I go there. This is strange fire. Oh, this is by the Holy Ghost. This is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? You can keep yourself in check. You can keep yourself. Can a believer walk in the flesh? You just saw the church at Corinth. It's not the house at Corinth, the church at Corinth. Believers. Hallelujah. 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 The church at Corinth. They were given to the flesh. So a believer can flow to the flesh. Hallelujah. The same thing too with the church at Galatia. Paul called them in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1. He called them fools. Say, oh foolish Galatians. Say, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus was clearly portrayed among you crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the Spirit, you are not being made perfect by what? By the flesh. Hallelujah. A believer can flow to the flesh. Hallelujah. Because they began to walk in the flesh. Paul calls them foolish. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So, can a believer be foolish? Emphatically, yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Foolish how? That is in conduct. Hallelujah. When it begins to flow in the flesh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The walk in the flesh is not the fire of the Lord.
The walk in the flesh is not the fire of the Lord. God doesn't inspire walking in the flesh. Are you following me? God doesn't inspire walking in the flesh. God doesn't. Walk in the flesh is not the fire of God.
And we have examples
of those who had strange fire in scriptures. Strange fire. We have examples in the scriptures that have been written for our admonition. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. We have examples in the scriptures. Strange fire. The walk in the flesh to the believer is a strange fire. Why? Why is it strange? First of all, in John 3 verse 5. It says we are born of the Spirit. John 3:8. We are born of God. Hallelujah. Galatians 3, verses 2. We've begun in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 9. It says we are born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says we are born of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Are born of the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. First Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 12. He said, we've received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know those things that are spirit freely given to us of God. We have received the spirit of God. Hallelujah. In verses 13 into 14, we are spiritual. In chapter 3, verse 16, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. In chapter 6, it says, we are joined with the Lord. First Corinthians says, we are joined with the Lord. So, very important. See, because we are in the Spirit, we are by the Spirit, we are in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are born of the Spirit. Or walk outside our nature is strange. To walk outside the Spirit is strange. Strange fire. Strange fire. Strange attitude. Strange. You can see someone who is so given to the cross of the Lord in the earth, and yet he's yielding to strange fire. Is that possible? Yes. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? He can. And when you see such things, you don't get discouraged. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You stay with the fire of the Lord. Are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
You stay with the fire of the Lord. For you can. Can I stay with the fire of the Lord 24 hours a day? Yes!
Yes, you can. You can stay with that fire. You can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. Wow, Leviticus. We hope to look at these books sometimes Sunday. Hallelujah.
Maybe sometimes as the year goes by. Hallelujah. And the Leviticus chapter 9. That's why we don't like Leviticus at all. Ah! A lot of fat burning, a lot of bone suffering, a lot of, you know.
Where will you go? One thing you must have
as you get to the book of Leviticus, from the name, Leviticus, the book to the Levites. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So you have in it the message of Moses writing about the Sabbath of the Levites, right? Sabbath. And what would you have? What would that be for us? It would be for us the work. How should I put it? Our work in the Sabbath of the Lord. What do you have there? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Our work in the Sabbath of the Lord. Our service. In fact, permit me to tell you, what you have there will be ministry. You see, that's ministry you have there.
The working ministry.
Where you see burnt offering, this offering is ministry. Hallelujah. Remember.
Okay, we'll get there. Okay, I have it here. Have it here.
So don't worry. Hallelujah. Have it here, so you see it.
You see it.
Hallelujah. Look at chapter 9, verse 22.
Verse 22. Then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offering. Remember, I said you find ministry, right? You find which ministry? You find ministry. Both the ministry of the Lord, right? And what?
And a ministry. Hallelujah. You find ministry.
Oh, hallelujah. So, Aaron will be that shadow of the high priest.
His sons will be what? The priests. Are you following me?
Glory to God. We'll look at it. It's not this year's teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their what?
On their faces.
Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered strange fire, profane fire, before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We just saw two kinds of fire.
Hallelujah. We just saw the fire of the Lord that brings about glory to Him. Fire for service. Right? We just saw fire in the service of the Lord that brings glory to Him. And then we saw the fire that was strange. Are you following that?
Hallelujah.
Just saw two fires. Hallelujah. The fire of the Lord consumed the fats.
That's what they said in verse 24. Came out before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering, that is the fat on the altar.
Hallelujah. So when they offer, I'm going down to the book of Leviticus now. Now, when they are to offer sacrifices, listen, when you offer sacrifices, the blood will be taken out, right? Then you gather the fat of the animal, the fats. Hmm? You gather them to one side. Those are the ones that you will burn. You understand me? You gather the fat of the animal and burn it. Do you understand me? It's called, that is what, forget to look at that. Don't get to see it. Hallelujah. But it's in scriptures. Then. Hallelujah. So you, that should be in chapter 3. Chapter 3 to chapter 5. Hallelujah. So you gather the fat and burn it. Now that fat, the fat represents the flesh. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? The fat that is born represents the flesh. That which is unholy. Are you following me? That which is unholy in service. That is the flesh. Are you following that? So, remember, Moses will be writing concerning the resurrection, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Moses will be writing concerning the resurrection, which in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter was talking about the resurrection. Remember, before now, which teaching do we have before now? Pneumaticals, yeah, on pneumaticals. Remember, I told us that when you read scriptures, and you say, and you hear concerning his death and entering into glory, right? Now, when you read the fact that the prophets that will talk about his death, burial, and resurrection, take note, we say that the resurrection is not the climax, right? Right? Not the climax. When I mean climax, it means Jesus resurrected, glory to God. The resurrection is not the end of story, that was what the prophets wrote about. No, you will lose it. Because when you talk about the resurrection, we're not talking about the resurrection as an event. We'll get to see that as we get into our longer teaching version today. Hallelujah. After now. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Are you following me?
They will not be talking about the resurrection as the end.
And he resurrected. Oh, glory to God. And when they write and they talk about, and he will resurrect, full stop. Bam, everybody go home. We'll finish. No. So, the resurrection is not when he stood up alone. It's not an event. Though it includes an event, but it's not. So, they will write about the resurrection like as, listen to this. Let me put it the way I put it during the Pneumaticus. They'll write it like what looks, or they write it in such a way that it looks like a climax, but is the beginning of what? So how did I put it? Who can help me out here? No one.
Amen. Step out. Show me something right.
Okay. The resurrection is not the climax, right? Not the end. So do write it as though it's the end, but it's the beginning. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's how I wrote it. They wrote it as though it's the end, but it's not the end. It's the beginning. Beginning of what? The beginning of the church. Hallelujah. The beginning of what? Walking in the Spirit. So when the prophet writes about walking in the Spirit, they are writing about the resurrection. That's the resurrection fact. Hallelujah. Because the resurrection is not an end, it's the beginning. Hallelujah. Do it as an event, but it's not an event. Glory to God. I will get into the longer section.
We would explore that a bit because I have it in my notes there. Hallelujah. We explore that a bit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the resurrection is not the end. Okay, let me put it this way.
During the UCC, Pastor Shelley said something that soteriology is not the end. So what is soteriology? Salvation, the study of salvation. So salvation is not the end because salvation will be practiced in the ecclesia. Do you understand me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, The resurrection is not the end.
It's the beginning of what looks like an end.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of what looks like an end. The beginning of what looks like an end, but it's not the end.
Okay. That's it. Let's move ahead. So,
Peter in 1 Peter 2:9, when we're writing about the resurrection, and he says you are a chosen generation. Would that be resurrection fact? Would that be resurrection fact? That would be resurrection fact. Hallelujah. Say you're a chosen generation. They say royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So Peter will call us priests, royal priesthood.
Holy generation.
I will show forth the praise of him who has called us out of darkness. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, he calls us kings and priests. That's the word kingdom of priests.
Hallelujah. We are a kingdom of priests. That is John. Meaning, in the resurrection, we are priests. So what Moses is writing about will be concerning the priestly ministry.
Are you following me? The priestly ministry.
So we're talking about, we're writing about our service to the Lord. That's what Moses is writing about. And he says, what from what we've read in Leviticus chapter 9, verses 24, the fire consuming the fat on the altar. Consuming the fat on the altar, that is service. So in our service to the Lord is with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And we'll see that shortly. Our service to the Lord is with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Our walk with the Lord should be with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that offering of that offering on the altar shows service. And the fat being burnt shows that, hey, the flesh is killed. Do you understand me? The flesh is burnt by the fire of the Lord. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Look at how Paul will put it in Romans chapter 8. Quickly. Let's rush to Romans 8. I should quickly see this now. Okay. If you live according to the flesh, verses 13, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the body will be what? When it calls body, your mind should go to Romans 6:6 when it talks about the body of sin. Hallelujah. The deeds of the body. He says, you will live. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Glory to God. So, the spirit kills the flesh.
Are you following that? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. The writer of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at what the writer of Hebrews will say. Hebrews 12. Verses 25. He says, seeing that you refuse. Please, I want to be very fast now. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, who refused him who speak on the earth? Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speak from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, And now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are not being shaken. Listen, that are not being shaken. Look at what he's going through. As of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, seeing we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So what is he talking about now? Service. Hallelujah. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's talking about service. And in the service of our Lord, they say, our God is a consuming fire. Not consuming fire in the way Africa has found it to be, or some part of it, Nigeria has found it to be, or some Kaifan people have found it to be. No, not that kind of fire. Say, our God is a consuming fire. Holy Ghost fire burn the womb. Whenever Satan are gathering, Holy Ghost fire upon them. Whenever Satan are gathering, Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire for them. Holy Ghost, I am a Jew. Whenever Satan is guarding, Holy Ghost, I am pushing them. Whenever Simon is guarding, Holy Ghost, I am pushing them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It says, our God is a consuming fire. For what? Service. So what does he consume? Remember, we've told you that, I've told you before that Bible was not written in chapters and verses, right? It was not written in chapters and verses. Chapters and verses have done to us a whole lot more of a out of context reading than it has done a good number of people in context reading. Hallelujah. So the chapters and the verses were written for reference. But when the people that wrote it wrote, they didn't write it in chapters. When Paul was writing, he didn't write it in chapters. He didn't expect that you read his Bible, his epistle in chapters. He didn't expect it. He said to read it in letter. It was a letter. Epistle. Epistle is a letter. That is a letter. Do you write letters in chapters?
No, sir.
You fail English. You know, not fail English. You will repeat why he is. Hallelujah. You have to have no bad why.
See, write a formal letter. I write chapter 1. He said, I, wisdom. No, I don't even want to write a formal letter. He said, I, wisdom, beloved of the Lord, salute you, dear Santos Glover. Chapter 1, verse 1. When we started Santos, it was with the intention of going to this point, verse 2. At a certain point, Niger throne came, and our money went, verse 3. A dialogue. Why? You feel?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Pastor Wisdom, this time will pass.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So you have this recording. So in the years to come, when you forget this, you remind you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Or can you write a letter with chapters and verses? No. No matter how sweet your grammar is, put all the ingredients of Janiki. You will fail. So Paul never wrote in chapters or verses. He wrote a letter. So most times, in fact, this is how I want us to read our Bible. When you read your Bible, and that helped me a whole lot. I neglect the chapter and the verses. I neglect it. In fact,
There was a time I had to download the Bible like that. That the Bible like that. I've looked it now. It has no chapter. But the way the chapter is written, it's written very tiny. You wouldn't even know that it's a chapter.
Not do I now see 12, 13.
Here I'm in another chapter. No.
Very tiny. So you just read straight. Hallelujah. To help your study life. Hallelujah. So the only thing you will do is to now summarize them into what? Paragraphs. Bible is written in paragraphs. Letters are written in paragraphs. So you now know this is where this paragraph is. This is introducing new thoughts. Do you understand me? Glory to God. So for me, chapter 12 did not end in verse 29. Neither did chapter 13 start in verses 1. Hallelujah. So we have to read everything together. It said, therefore, since we receive the kingdom of God, verse 28, which cannot be shaken, say, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Did you see that? Did you see the flow?
Yes, sir.
It says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body also. To me, this is where chapter 12 will end.
Hallelujah. What is he talking about?
Sense.
Are you following that?
Yes, sir.
What is he talking about?
Sense.
And he says, our God is a consuming fire. Now, take away another way to read. Is take away that verse 29. Let's read from verse 28 into chapter 13, 1.
It says, therefore, since we've received the kingdom, which cannot be shaken, it says, let us have grace, which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let us serve God, right? Say, let brotherly love continue. Is that the service of God?
Yes, sir.
Is that the service of God?
Yes.
Do not forget to entertain strangers. Is that the service of God?
Yes.
For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Is that the service of God? Angels there, it does not mean people with feather. Angels there means ministers. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. He said, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body also. Stop. So what is the consuming fire for?
Service.
So you can't be writing about service now. Yeah, God is a consuming fire. Holy Ghost, are you upon them?
Who's talking anything about devil? Who's talking about service? And he says our God is a consuming fire. Are you following that?
Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 So why he puts our God is a consuming fire, it's not you see what he does. Hallelujah. Our God is a consuming fire. That is to say, the power of God consumes us to serve. You see that? The power of God does what? Consumes us for service. And that is the effect in chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can say the fire of God consumes the flesh to walk in the spirit. Because the service of God is done in the spirit. So let brotherly love continue. Love is the work in the spirit. So the fire of God consumes the flesh to walk in the spirit. So the fire of the Holy Ghost is for service, not to kill. Not to kill, it's for service. Anytime the word fire or things around fire is used, fire of the Holy Ghost is used many times in scriptures, it talks about sense. Look at John 2 quickly. John 2 verse 14. Jesus now. Look at John 2. Look at what John wrote about Jesus. John 2 verse 14. And the word John 2. Verse 14, he says, And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. And he made the whip of the cord. He drove them out the table, out the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the exchangers' money and overturned the table. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house the house of merchandise. What is he doing? Service. Right? He's showing us an act of service. And the disciples remember that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. So, it shows us service. And in 17, when it says zeal of your house, that word zeal has the undertone of fire. I've told us that last year, GPLR, right? Oh, sorry, last year, prayer retreat. Right? Zealous. Hallelujah. Has an undertone of fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost is for service. Said the zeal for your house has eaten me up. Service. In Romans chapter 12, Paul. Romans 12, verses 9. He said, let us walk. Say, let love be without hypocrisy. Harbor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Are you following me? Say, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Is this walking in the spirit? Is this walking in the spirit? Is it service? Okay, kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring, giving preference to one another. It said, not lacking in diligence, say, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayers. He says, now we're talking about service. And he said we should be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now what fervency deals with fire of the spirit. Fervency deals with the fire of the spirit. Fire of the spirit. And in verse 12, it tells us. Or we should be fervent in the place of prayer. Mentions prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we keep that fervency in the place of prayer. We keep it. We keep it. So when it says fervent in the spirit, it shows it is our responsibility. It's our duty to keep it up. Keep up with the fire. Are you following me? Keep up with the fire. Make sure you stay burning.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16.
1 Thessalonians 5. They say, rejoice always. He say, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ for you. Do not quench the spirit. That word in the Greek is the word do not quench the spirit fire. Because when that word quench is used, it's the word that implies what fire. Hallelujah. Do not quench the spirit fire. So we can quench the spirit fire. Remember, it's our duty to keep it burning. Hallelujah. Amen. You can quench the spirit fire. Hallelujah. To quench the spirit fire is to put on strange fire. To quench the spirit fire is to put on strange fire. And strange fire is the work in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In order for us not to put off the spirit fire, Paul says in verse 16, praying always, rejoice forevermore. Praying always. Praying without ceasing. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This implies that prayer keeps me in God's fire. Prayer keeps me in check. Prayer keeps me in God's fire.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I keep the fire burning in the place of prayer. I keep it burning, rejoicing always. I keep it burning, staying around spirit filled men. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Remember, to put out the spirit fire is to put on straight fire. To put out the spirit fire is to put on straight fire. There's nothing as being neutral. There's nothing as being normal. There's no being normal. It's either you are with the fire of the Holy Ghost or you are with straight fire. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
I am just neutral. No. I don't want to be here or there. No, that's not people. I don't want to be too spiritual. I don't want to be kind. I just want to be at the fence. You are with the devil. You have entered into the devil's game. You've entered into the devil's game. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Satan plays a long game. You think you are just taking ease of prayer. It's time for GPLR. It's long hours prayer. Somebody left all the way from Delta for GPLR. Some people are in Lagos, they are lounging and sleeping and watching SpongeBob. Somebody came all the way from Delta to pray. Somebody is in Lagos, is in his house, watching Netflix. Has God not judged you? That's the judgment of God. You don't know. You are judged already. I said, no, I don't want to pray too long. I don't want to be a spiritual Christian. Anyway, I call you spirit coco, call the person cana coco. Person called you spiritus, call the person canitus. Hallelujah. 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 You cannot sit on the fence. There is nothing like being too over spiritual. No! Is it that you are spiritual or you are carnal? Is it that you are with the Lord's fire or you are with straight fire? Watch it! He said, no, I don't want to. You know, sometimes you just need to unwind that, or just be relaxed. It's not everything that is too serious. Heaven know they run. Eh? Satan plays a long game. There's a story I'm going to tell you that Pastor Shepherd told us. Satan plays a long game. And most times, you know, because people are short-sighted. People can't see beyond their nose. They get into the game with Satan. They get into Satan's game. They fall into Satan's trap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I put up with the spirit fire.
Always.
Hallelujah. Always.
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
Give no room to the devil. That's not what scripture teaches you. Give no place. That word is do not give a foothold to the devil. Do not. Don't give him a chance. Don't give him a room. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Give it room. He said, no, sir. Sir, it's not like that. It's not like that. It's just as I was just making soup, I just said it. You are making soup, you just said it. He said, it's just normal. It's business world. Business world.
Wow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Woo, glory. So, in Leviticus 10:1, we've seen an example of strange fire, profane fire.
That word profane fire is the word fake. Listen, the word strange is the word fake, is the word godless. I could say godless fire. Hallelujah. And what did the Bible say they died?
Nadab and Abihu are priests also. They are priests. Hope you know. In Numbers 3:4, and Numbers 26:61. These are the two times they were mentioned again.
What was said of them? They were priests, children of Aaron, priests, but they offered strange fire. That was only thing we knew about them in scriptures. They offered strange fire.
And they died.
Numbers 3:4, Numbers 26:61. Hallelujah. And they became an example of strange, profane fire. Walk in the flesh. Remember, if you look at that Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, it said God did not command them. You offered what God did not command them. God did not command them. What has God commanded? Walk in the Spirit. Are you following me? Walk in the Spirit. The moment you begin to walk in the flesh, strange fire. Strange fire. And they die. Hallelujah. So as believers, we must avoid profane fire. Things that bring about profane fire. You have to avoid profane fire and the things that lead to profane fire. You stop it in its tracks. The moment you see it coming, you stop it in its tracks. Hallelujah.
Yes,
are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You stop it in its tracks. So therefore, as a believer, I must avoid murmuring. Murmuring. Some people like to murmur. They like to complain. Have you seen people murmur before? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10:10. We just read it now, but I want to see it again. He said, let us not tempt Christ, verse 9, as some of them also tempted and they were destroyed by the serpent. Nor complain. Some translations say, nor murmur, as some of them also complain and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Murmur. Murmur means to make mimicking sound. To make sounds. Complain. Sounds of this. See, there's some characters you learn while growing up. That when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the church, you don't bring it there. In fact, the moment the fact that you are born again means you will drop them. You understand? You will drop them. Don't murmur. Murmur is devilish. I run away from people that murmur. You won't catch me murmur. I don't think I have murmured murmur. I don't even know how to do that. Then we go the way my mom trained me. If she beats you and you do it's called our hit your head. So you can't even mumble. Like they are done beating you and you are saying the slap that you will receive will be more than the one you took at first. But at that point, anything that gets to her hand is the weapon of mass destruction. Hallelujah. With the skull, you are in trouble. With the spoon, you are gone. Anything at that point. So at that point, you begin to, you need to look at the next round of escape. First flight, you think of first flight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you avoid murmuring. It's a sin. Rather, we're told to do what? Give thanks always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Murmuring is a sin. Look at Numbers 11. When they came with reports, and only Joseph and Joshua and Caleb had a good report, what did the remaining do? They murmured. They murmured. Everybody saying different things at the same time. Hallelujah. Let's all complain under our nose. Don't speak in tongues. Don't complain under our nose. Everybody just complain under our nose.
Say it under your breath. Everybody, I'm not one person. Like you are.
How organized is this place?
Very easy to
same time we will be eating.
God, they needed bread. God gave them bread. He called it manna. That's what murmuring will do. They needed bread. They complained. They wanted everything they needed was by complaint. Just like protesters. They protested for everything. You've seen the salvation of the Lord and bringing you up from Egypt. Right? And you were all along from that point. Your murmuring started. It's about you even take us out of the land of Egypt. You know, when people begin to mourn, they will forget the grace of God. They will forget what God has done for them. They forgot that God led them out with an outstretched arm. They saw what happened to Egypt, to Pharaoh and his soldiers in the Red Sea. Yet, in Numbers 11, they chose for themselves people. That's what Mormon would do. They chose themselves people and said, let's go back to Egypt. Remember that they were suffering in Egypt. They said, at least Egypt was not better. We had different food. It's your problem. Okay, they needed bread. God gave them bread. Say, Egypt used to eat bread. God gave them bread. They called it manna, murmuring. He didn't even see the miraculous nature of how the bread came. Imagine you just came out of God and you saw bread. Bread did not bake. You did not see flour bake. Bread showed. And the first thing you said is manna. You don't even know manna in Hebrew. Manna means what is this? And he ate what is this? You know, manna. What's this? Then I said, what's this? And they ate it. They ate what is this? Complain. They didn't even see the miraculous nature. They started complaining again. When they see manna, you know, potatoes are never satisfied. And from 5 pounds at the end, they'll go to 10 pounds. Never satisfied. When that fast is done, they started murmuring again. In Egypt, apart from bread, we need to eat meat. We need to eat meat. And God said, come here. There's no onions. Still complain. And God sent ravens. Imagine you are just sitting and ravens, bird flew to your hand, catching them. They did not steal land. I want you to understand. They did not steal land. They yet complained. They needed water. They saw water came come out from the rock. This is to make you know how unthankful murmuring will make you become. You see, walking in the flesh will just place you on the same pedestal of a man who is not born again. They saw water come from the rock. All through their stay in Egypt, they have never seen it. But water came from the rock. They drank, yet they complained.
Moses tried. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They complained. So you avoid murmurs. Are you hearing? Avoid murmurs. You know,
first it's good when I will speak to all of us who are leaders, intending leaders and pastors.
We ask for good tomorrow morning. That was this I want to talk to you about.
Hallelujah. It's as soon as regards how you shepherd and disciple the flock. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me?
Very important. Even as regards murmuring, because most times you
would have some brothers who are murmuring, who like to complain on how you shepherd them. Because when they began to murmur, Aaron is an example of a leader. Moses is an example of a leader. Are you hearing me? When they complained to Aaron, what did Aaron do? Aaron quickly answered them, forgetting the counsel of the Lord. And when Moses asked, what have you done? He said, we just gathered all the gold and put it inside the fire. What came out is golden calf. Who be moved?
You just put gold inside fire, back. Body calf came out back. He yielded to complain.
Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? See, let me tell you something. You have freedom of speech in the world, but in the gospel, in Christ, we don't have such. You are going to exercise your freedom of speech anyway, but don't do that in the house of God. We have an example, Miriam. Right? Is it Miriam? Yeah, it's Miriam. Hallelujah. Miriam and Korah, right? Korah, right?
Korah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They complained. And what happened to them? They were struck with leprosy. They complained. They complained. Complain is not allowed for believers. Are you hearing me? Sir, I don't like the way our leader used to treat us. The same way you don't like, the same way you don't have a responsibility to complain.
You have the opportunity to pray.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? You don't complain. In fact, if we are to assess what Moses did,
you know, logically, Moses, do you understand? But when God was to judge, we'll get to see that soon. When God was to judge, God didn't look at what Moses did. Hallelujah. Because that's not the point of contention at that point. You complained. You walked in the flesh. Moses married a woman from Ethiopia. And God said, if I have to talk to Moses, I talk to Moses face to face. Now we be. Hallelujah. Who are you? You've never seen a V, first of Sean's. And you're complaining. Because you only know small English. Because you only went to uni Abuja. You just know small English, you just manage. And you are complaining. Not even you want to read a good course, engineering, mechanic, and you are complaining.
How is that? Amen. Neither did I call anybody's name. Glory to God. I'm a man of peace.
Amen.
Who's going to go to PTI, right? Amen. I'm coming for you.
We have number.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you complaining? Just complain. Because you know how to console small grammar. You know it is our right, our constitutional right. Based on our Federal Republic of Nigerian Constitution 1999 to fight for our rights.
And then you
and then you're not bring it to church. Now bring it to church. Now say I don't like what my pastor has done. So therefore I want to exercise my constitutional right and take it to. Are you okay? In the church? Don't mumble.
Don't mumble. Hallelujah. Avoid murmuring. Avoid it. Avoid it. Hallelujah. No one grows spiritually that is given to murmur. No one grows. I've been in ministry for a number of days, and I can tell you, I've seen people who murmur, and I can't find them in ministry today. Satan plays a long game. When they were murmuring, sometimes they might not even murmur where the pastor is. They just form their own group of murmurers. They just, you know, mind it when people begin to have cliques in the local church.
That is not a cell. There's not a cell. There's not an ACF. There's not a fellowship. They're not forming their own fellowship. Fellowship of Murmurers Association. And now, watch it. I've been in ministry for days to know that.
people don't move further. And sometimes you just see some people in a particular clique. They don't grow spiritually. Watch them very well. What they do mostly is to murmur. Just complain. I don't like
Sister Papa. Every time Regina says she's the most beautiful. I don't even like that.
Watch them! They wouldn't grow. You see them going round and round and round circles. The pastor will preach, they wouldn't understand. They just keep going round and round and round. But you know what? Break them from that murmuring team. You will see them grow. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Never murmur.
No matter what. Never murmur.
Glory to God. Avoid speaking ill of the things that are of the spirit or spiritual things.
Avoid speaking down of spiritual things. That is strange fire. Remember, murmuring is strange fire.
Speaking down of spiritual things is strange fire. We have an example in scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. In chapter 12 here, we have Esau, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Now what profane comes against? Godless person like Esau, who for a morsel of food sold his birthright. Esau sold his birthright for food.
What is birthright? Birthright is not, I am the firstborn, go and be secondborn.
No. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Birthright, that word birthright is also, remember, birthright will be Moses' act of writing too. Hallelujah. Moses will employ a certain kind of writing. Now, listen. For Egypt, where they left, listen. What they call birthright will be what happens to the pharaoh or the head of a clan. When that one, the first son, have what they call right of birth or birthright. To take on the father's stead if the father passes on. To take on the father's office if the father passes on. That is a birthright. It's not that I'm first born, you're second born. No. The birthright always goes to the father's chosen one. Do you understand me? So the father will choose. Which usually will be the first son? Do you understand me? Which usually should will be the first son? The first son always has. So now, Moses is now writing. Listen. And when Moses is writing, was now showing them the fact that birthright, listen, was now writing in the book of Genesis, when writing about birthright, I don't want to go back. Should I go forward? Okay, let me just go back. He now does a counter narrative for them and shows them that for the believers or for them, the birthright will not just be the one who is firstborn, but rather the one who believes. Do you understand me? And so he writes for you Abraham, he shows you what Ishmael that came first and shows you Isaac. And he said the birthright goes to Isaac, not Ishmael. Do you understand me? He calls Isaac the child of promise. So it was a counter narrative to show them that in the kingdom is he who believes. Do you understand me? Not majorly first child. Do you understand me? He goes to Isaac, he brings up Isaac now have two children. Esau, okay, first of all, it left out from Cain and Abel. It is Abel, not Cain. You understand me? Abel, not Cain. Comes to Abraham, is Isaac, not Ishmael. It comes down to Isaac, it is Jacob, not Esau. It gets to Jacob, it is not Reuben, it will be Joseph. You understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I want you to follow that closely. So the concept of birthright that they had in Egypt will be the first son. But the concept of birthright that Moses now writes to them will now be he who believes in the promise. Hallelujah. So who believe in the promise will now give the stead of his father.
Who is his father? His father will be what? Isaac. Right? Who is Isaac's father? Abraham. Who is Abraham? A prophet, a man of God. Are you following me? He's a preacher of the gospel. So Abraham will now pass it over for Isaac because Isaac believed. Not necessarily the firstborn that took over Abraham's stead. Do you understand me? Now when he calls for Jacob and Esau, who will? It is Jacob. Counter-narrative. Why Jacob? Because Esau was a profane person. And we're going to look at that word profane soon. So when
Esau was tired, listen, Esau was tired. History had it that he was done from, he was just got back from slaughter.
Slaughter of the child is, in fact, history had it that he just killed, what's the name of that guy? Who did he just kill? Nimrod. He just dealt with Nimrod. So he was, you know, Nimrod was a
giant.
Was a giant, was a world ruler, was a world power, you know. Listen, I want to get something, and you got to read the narrative into it. So he had seen human strength at work. Are you following me? So he got famished and tired, and he got home. And Isaac, I mean Jacob, was cooking. He said, "Give me today, we call it porridge. Give me porridge." How do you know it's porridge? Give me porridge. For whatever reason, like your pastor, you see. Buy me, give me yam and soft.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. And soft. No, but that was all he was prepared. So I just said, give me. Then Jacob asked, give me your birthright. You know, you would think birthright would just be Shemina. Take birthright. Now you're the best boy. Now you're the second one. No, I don't know what it is. Hallelujah. He was talking about the office. The office of his father. And you know, because of what he has accomplished, like what all that said, you know, my name is already in Guinness World Book. You understand it? So he now says, hey, what is our porridge? He said, take birthright. Do you want any other thing? Take it in! Give me good measure. You understand? He was ready to let go of the spiritual. He spoke first, he spoke in of spiritual things. An office that his father was. His father stood in or is standing in. I hear him. He spoke ill of it. For what? For what is common. He spoke ill of it for what is common.
Hallelujah. So, in
the New Testament, Esau now becomes for us an example of what? Godless speaking. Godless speaking. He said there should be no profane person, godlessness, like Esau,
who spoke down on things of the spirit. There's some people like that. You just talk down on things of the spirit. Just talk down on it. Just talk down on it. They regard it less, the things of the spirit.
See, don't ever talk down on it. They don't laugh. I told us this last week. Don't laugh at spiritual things. Don't laugh at people when they pray. Don't laugh at them. Don't mock tongues. Don't for any reason mock tongues. Someone is telling you and you're laughing. You are not different from Esau. Meaning you don't value spiritual. But that's for people like that. They laugh at people's tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you are being told. Don't
let it be found around you.
It is strange fire. See,
Pastor Shebu said something. He said,
nobody who laughs at spiritual things ever see it work in their lives. Mm-hmm. If you mock tongues, you will not see the effects in your life.
If you mock healing, miracles, you wouldn't have it in your life or ministry. If you mock people rejoice, you see people rejoice, they look at me, he's rejoicing.
they dance a lot, that's it, they rejoice.
Yeah. Just look at me, rejoice. Yeah, they rejoice. Just they laugh, just they mess themselves up. Who the hell are you? You look different from David's wife that laughs at him when he danced. Hallelujah. But what happened to her? She couldn't conceive. You don't mock spiritual things and expect to see the results in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't even stay around where they are mocking. See, some people, you might not be the one mocking, but you just stay around. You just like comedians. You just like to hear them laugh at spiritual things. The pastor was just speaking in tongues. You just sense tongues. He wants to buy sugar to rubber sander. Oh, years back. Yeah, I remember. You're just speaking Shukutu Roba Sanda. Shukutu Roba Sanda. Shukutu Roba Sanda. They are mocking tongue. You are laughing. So hilarious. You are around people with the mock spiritual thing. You should feel ashamed of yourself. You walk out of that place. Hallelujah. Never stay around people with the mock spiritual thing. Or will they mock the things of the spirit? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? The things of the spirit are not up for mockery. They're not up for debate. They're not up for argument. Don't stay around them. Don't even talk about, is it? If you speak ill about your pastor can never bless you. Even if he lays hands and legs and body on you, it will be of no effect. So the issue will not be your pastor, the issue will be you. Are you hearing me? Who does not talk ill about your pastor? Because that pastor can say, Strange fire. If you are around any believer that says that, just call strange fire. You need to be broken. Because there's nothing that God will do, that pastor will give that you will ever receive from him. Even if he lays hands, lays leg, lays body. You know there's lay your body. Lay hands, lay leg, lay body. See. I'm going to give two examples. I want to cite those two different examples. First of all, he gave an illustration about a young lady who was having marital issues. Marital issues. And the husband he got married to was this nonchalant, I don't want to use barack man, but nonchalant man. Nonchalant man. Not dealing with the things of the spirit. And now she is into ministry. So she is now being frustrated. Hallelujah. So while complaining to Pastor Shegu, Pastor Shegu said he now saw in the vision. And she was complaining. Now asked her, did you go to this school? The lady was surprised. He said, yeah, that's how did you know? He said, why you went over here? I just saw it. He now called the name of the hostel. Wow, interesting. They said yes. He said, was there a time you sat down in your room and you were having a discussion? You were saying, I can never marry a pastor in my life. I can never. Some of us play that dirty nonsense game. I can never marry a pastor in my life. That a lady with hijab now came in. Listen, hijab, that is a Muslim lady. And they now continue that talk. Pastor. Like this, that you spoke ill of pastors. See, and but you just stop there. You said that in a long for a long time. You kept saying you can never marry a pastor. And can you now say? Now the what does that have to do with that? The Satan plays a long game. You think what you are saying is just mere words. No. Satan plays a long game. Hallelujah. You think I just said it today, but you meet it tomorrow. Now she's married.
Now, in being married, she now goes into ministry.
Hallelujah.
I said, then she was like, I never married a pastor. She now married who is a non-pastor. Abi, now you're not in ministry. Now you now receive the call. But there's already what? A challenge. What you have said has come to meet you. Another man is now frustrating the ministry of God.
Hallelujah. Many a times, people joke with very important issues. They talk down serious issues.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep your heart pure.
There are several people who are in ministry who 10 years or 15 years before you told them you're going to ministry, they'll tell you it's not true.
What do you mean ministry today?
Satan does a long game.
Hallelujah. He plays a long game.
Don't speak down on pastors. Don't speak down on your pastor. No, don't.
Don't. Don't. I'm telling you, don't.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
speaking down on pastors. See, let me tell you something. Even speaking down on people. Because even not a pastor, don't speak down. Don't speak ill of people that God uses. Hallelujah.
Yes,
because you don't know who God uses, who God will use for you. Who God will send to you. I'm sure we give another illustration of a family member. Who is in a situation? I don't want to call it a situation because recently when he spoke about it, he didn't call it a situation. So who was in a situation? I was bedfast. And he had prayed for that one. Then another person was in the same situation. And the person, before the person entered into that situation, which is coma, I've said it, coma, he said to his cousin, say, reach out to Pastor Shegu Onoinka on Facebook. Tell him he should pray for me. Do you understand? He said he doesn't know the person. But the cousin reached out to him and he gave him the number. Let's give him the number. And he called the lady. Now listen to this. He said when he was calling the lady, he said that was the time when
I don't think they've come out of it. When Arsenal were suffering, and they are still suffering. No, Chelsea did give away. We did Christmas giveaway yesterday. And it happened, we happened to give it away to Arsenal.
Though I'm not happy, they are giving it to clubs like Leeds United or very small teams, not overgrown babies.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, but it's good to be your brother's keeper. We are all from London.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at me, don't look at me. We are helping you.
We have that tent a lot to
be sad. Hallelujah.
Don't give yourself hope. You will play nonsense.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. These guys took ball possession from you guys. Made mess of Chelsea. Let's
continue. So, let's continue. So, we said those were the days where Arsenal were in deep shit under Arsene Wenger. So, he said he was watching the ball and he was not able to concentrate on the prayer. He just knew that. He just said, give you my phone. No, give me my phone. The man was in coma and he was just talking over the phone. You are well. Come back, come back, come back. Amen. He said, you will spend money. You know, that was it. It was a serious thing. But he just said, come back, come back, come back, and come back. But you know what? The woman came back.
Hallelujah.
You understand? The woman came back. But the person that was close to him didn't come back. That one did twist. Not that I didn't let that get well, I didn't say it, but he didn't, she didn't come back that period. You understand? So then he became worried. Because he took his time to pray for this one. This one he just, you know, just normal call, was not even putting his mind, and that one came back. And then he asked a fellow minister.
And the fellow minister asked him a question. He said, what does your cousin call you, or the late one that is close, what does she call you?
Call you by my name, Shevin, or Onoinka. Shevin. What does that woman on Facebook call you?
pastor. See, that is the difference. How they see you matters a lot.
I hear you. How they see you matters a lot. You cannot receive from the one you do not honor. How they see you matters a lot. So you don't speak anyhow. In fact, some people go a long way to calling their pastor name. In fact, call their pastor nickname. Hallelujah. I call Pastor Wisdom. Pastor Sophia, some people will call him in. Pastor Sophie, you're not well. Your pastor. Yeah, I said I was going to address that. You call a minister, not his name, in Jehovah. How do you see? See, let me tell you. Listen. We are. Remember, I said to Ross, Satan plays a long game. I follow you. Satan does what? Plays a long game. You don't do that. Hallelujah. Pastor Philemon. You don't have respect. You stop that. Hallelujah. Your pastor in Lagos. So we even call him Pastor Garus. How far? How would you be able to receive from him? You see your pastor, you can't even greet. When you see a pastor from far, like, oh my God. You're just putting leg ground open. Because he's going to ask you, have you prayed today? They want to see Pastor Kubi from far. And the next thing, they are not going to children's park, but you see them afar off. There is a pilgrim on earth, and they will enter children's park. And the prize is what they want to send them to fight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've not so led Christ. Have honor for your pastor. Have honor. See, listen to me. You don't call your pastor by nickname. You will receive from him. You know, I've always thought of that you esteem them so high. So high. A double horn beginning to your pastor. You call your father. How many of you call your father by your father's name? Just get on your say, MW salute. Or call your father by your father's daughter's name, your father's son name, Baba Dixon. You're calling your father Baba Dixon. Or MW going now retired. That is, it shows you lack respect, you lack honor, and you wouldn't go far. But you know, if you place it on how you call your pastors, you're not perfect. You just open your mouth, brother, you just call your pastor anyhow. Somebody will know who we are here and say, Pastor Wisdom, I've been calling you. No, these are important. These are very important as we get into the air. See, let me give you a shocker. You don't have honor for your pastor. In whatever level, it's strange fire. It's strange fire. Double honor. The pastor who pastors you directly, don't call him by his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be wise and be smart. Have respect for your pastor. So someone has 9 days pay my school fees. Tell your life. Is your life school fees? and be said they watch over your souls and they will give account. Hallelujah. Who watches over your souls is not your parents, it's your pastor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So also you watch your companies. I'll be fast now. Let's round up because of time. You watch your companies. First Corinthians 15:33. Evil communication corrupts good manners. If watching your companies was not enough, was not important, Paul wouldn't have appointed Timothy to whom he should avoid. You know, Paul told Timothy whom to avoid. He told him Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He pointed hands to Demas. He said, be diligent to come to me. Verse 9. Verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescent for Galatia. Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. He says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 14. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Did you see that? Watch who your pastors flow with. See. Don't play a good, nice fellow. Somebody who insults your pastor. Somebody who treats your pastor wrongly. Somebody who has harmed your pastor will harm you. He will harm you. Don't try to play, I shouldn't. That's why you should love our enemies. See, in loving your enemies, your pastor can tell you, your pastor has the right to tell you, this one, he has done me harm, don't follow him. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Anybody who does harm to your pastor will do you harm. So you avoid the person. Hallelujah. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him for his work. He says, you also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So, very important. If you go to the book of Romans 16, it tells us those to follow. You have the hall of fame of those who have helped Paul's ministry. It still mentions Priscilla and Aquila. Hallelujah. Romans 16, you see that there. So you watch who your companies are. Don't company with evildoers. Don't company with those who are busybodies. How you hearing me? Evil communication corrupt good manners. That will lead me to the next one. Say, watch what you hear. Watch what you hear. Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Say, incline thy ears to my saying. Let them not depart out of their eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Say, for they are life to them that find it, and health to all, medicine to all their flesh. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Guard your heart with all diligence. The believer has got that responsibility. To mount a guard over his heart. Hallelujah. You watch what you hear concerning who God uses. Watch what you hear concerning who God uses. Some people, what they do is that they go online and they search for what wrong a pastor has done. Watch what you hear concerning who God uses. Watch what you hear. The moment you can no longer receive from a pastor, it's because you've heard something. Because you've heard something wrong. Hallelujah. Pastor that you respect so much, the moment you can't listen or receive from me, it's because you've heard something wrong. That has spoiled your mind concerning him. Watch what you hear. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And watch what you hear. Okay, very important. and watch what you hear concerning those you disciple. Watch what you hear concerning them. Concerning those who teach you and concerning those who you teach. Watch what you hear concerning them. Watch what you hear concerning them. Hallelujah. I'm telling you for free. Remember, I have to deal with a disciple so bad. So bad that I communicated the lady for my meeting. Not in Lagos, our meeting in Enugu, center home. So that he is communicated from the body of Christ. I said a whole lot of words to her. That when we later reconciled, like 3.5 years after, and she was telling me, she told me she went home and cried all day. That why? Because she believed so much in me, believed so much in the fact that, you know, I'm a pastor and the father, I teach her the word. But those words for me were so harsh. He did not just break her. It actually shattered her, made her a wound. But me, I just felt I did what I have to do. Hallelujah. But I was wrong. And that was because I heard things concerning her. I heard things concerning her. Things that even if they were true, the things I was supposed to sit her down and speak to her concerning. Hallelujah. But I allowed what people said to get at me. I was very young in ministry then. We're just 2 years in ministry. I allowed those things to get into me. Hallelujah.
Oh, you don't treat people that way.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't allow what people say. Mind what you hear concerning who your disciples. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't allow anger stay. You know, anger is one thing that people that you can easily want to defend. Defend anger. It's holy anger. Some people don't have holy anger. There's no like holy anger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I showed us that in Ephesians. Hallelujah. Don't allow anger stay. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. He didn't say you should be angry, no. Hallelujah. He says, do not sin. Hallelujah. He said, don't allow that. What Paul is saying here is, don't allow the anger stay. When things come to get you angry, deal with it immediately. Some people have anger management crisis, anger management issues. And Paul says to the believer, don't allow anger stay. When he said, do not allow the sun set on your anger, it means don't allow it stay. Don't allow it stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deal with the anger. Deal with it. Hallelujah. Deal with it. What does it mean to deal with it? When you deal with it, you do not say, pour it out. No. Hallelujah. Deal with the anger. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anger is a work in the flesh. Anger is straight fire. When you are angry, it's not the best time to talk. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Not the best time to talk. You see, anger makes a man behave like an animal. You have seen an angry man before. You will be just the same way between a man and a dog. Anger will make two elderly people, two people who are all age, drop whatever status they have in society, carry chairs and fight. That is anger will make a man behave like a fool. Hallelujah. So let's deal with anger when it comes. Try as much as you can. Deal with anger. Don't just try. Deal with it. Hallelujah. Be careful of social media. Be careful of social media. How do you handle social media? Be careful.
Social media has become an untamed environment. In fact, in social media, you now have friends. So when I tell you, watch your company, also include social media. Watch your company too on social media. Hallelujah. Now we now have friends that are beyond physical. We now have friends that are outside our location that you've not seen for 10 years, but you are friends. You talk every day. Hallelujah. Watch social media. Watch social media. The things you put on social media does not affect. Watch how you use social media. Some people just like to go to social media and put. I remember what a friend's dad told us. That was why when I first opened Facebook, when it was Facebook. Some might not know, when it was Facebook. That was around Facebook, first of all, came out 3000. And what you have today is 2009 because of the version upgrade. But Facebook, when it first came out, Facebook was around 2007, 2008. Facebook. That was when my first account I had. And that account is only your face that will show. The two eyes and mouth. That's Facebook. Hallelujah. Yes, that's like Pastor. That's Facebook. And my friend's dad told us something. He said, why are you listening to Facebook? Then I had three accounts like that. I had Facebook, I had Hi-Fi, and I had MySpace. I had these three accounts. I still logged into MySpace account some time ago before MySpace. I heard that it's off now. They've taken it away. Then that of Hi-Fi, my account is no longer, because when they did the version upgrade from what we had then, that was when most of our first CRC, that my CRC picture, the first one that you saw me post, I got it from my space. That was where I got it from. That was what the only one I could get out before, because they were deleting it. I had a lot of those old pictures there. Our first ever logo, when I did with Viral. We did the latitude and longitude, WSF. Oh my goodness. Our old flyers that we type with typewriter. We did flyers with typewriter. That's what I didn't know. Old. 2005. I had several of those pictures there. Several. Yeah, Sunday. How we stood. There was one that we did at the blog. That's from hard pictures. Old pictures. I had pictures one at T2, that was much more recent than something like that. So, but you know, one of those things, I can't lay hands on them today. But you know, what I'm saying this is, my friend's dad told us something. He said, this is why you guys are rushing into social media, this, that. He said, imagine Antichrist comes in today and say, that was what he said. He said, we want to have world register. He said, would you go? I said, no, I will not register my name. He said, but do you know that what you've done on Facebook, Hi-Fi, MySpace? The reason why I left them. I left MySpace, left Facebook then, left Hi-Fi. Left those things. Because I felt it was Satan's register. Hallelujah. But today, people go on Facebook. And it has now become a ground where a member, a boy, can now insult fathers. People just write anything, loosely and otherwise. A young boy that was just born recently will be telling an elderly man that was born before your father, Sorosuke Wiri. Sorosuke Wiri. Are you okay? This is the meaning of Wiri. Someone that can give it to you, calling him Willie. Loosely. Watch who you follow on Facebook. Watch who you follow on Facebook. Some people want to follow everybody in the body of Christ. Everybody they are following in the body of Christ. Very soon you go and follow Hindu. Don't worry. Just follow everybody. You are posting everything everybody is writing. Just be wise. Just be smart. Follow your pastor. I told some pastor something. I said, observation. There are some things I've observed. Hallelujah. Yes, just follow your pastor. See, if you want to be safe in this world, follow your pastor. Even on social media, follow your pastor. Let it be that everything I post is what my pastor has posted. There's no time to be unique. Do you know what you do? You are saving yourself. You are saving yourself. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? You are saving yourself. Just repose all your fast fast process. Just go, look, share, and move ahead. Or to check and check. Hallelujah. Very important. Very important. Don't go there and just stop it. Because there are people saying nonsense. Don't join into those conversations. But when you don't have a reason why you're on social media, you do everything on social media. Hallelujah. Some people, before you know, they spend 5 hours on social media. Just on social media. Just on social media. Only 5 hours. You need fearless to stand. But on social media, you don't need fearless. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. One very important one. In the year 2021, the Spirit of God tells us, do not get into a quarrel with anyone. For whatever reasons. Whatever reason. Don't get into a quarrel with anyone. Remember, Stan plays a long game.
Don't get into a quarrel with anyone. Even if the person is wrong, own up and move ahead. You see, strength. I'll get to teach us this in this month of January. Strength. You see, there's some people who love to fight. They love to fight. They like to fight. Like me, that wants to be survivor. They love to fight. But you know what? Strength is not in fight. You see, the weakest people are the people that fight. And that's why I frown at men that fight, that beat their wives. Mm-hmm. I don't take it lightly.
How will you beat your wife? For what? It's weakling that do that. Are you planning to punch your wife that you have? Hallelujah. It's weaklings that do that. It's weak men that fight.
Are you hearing me? Weak men fight. See men, boys, see their inner boys that fight, their twin boys. They are weak. They are weak. It's weak people that fight. That should train blue is a state of strength. No. You know what is strength? Strength is not measured by the amount of blue. When strength is measured by you keeping quiet. That shows you have strength. Somebody is insulting you and you are quiet. And you walk in. You are not weak, you are the stronger one. Strength is when you resist the fight. You know it's very strong. You need to be very strong to be able to contain it. But as somebody called you in an idiot, a foolish person. You are better than your papa, 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 papa. Your generation. So that you just get into a box. I tell the person, I'm not going to fight with you. You are strong.
Hallelujah. That's a strong one. Hallelujah. So I say it's a weak man that fights or beats up his wife. A weak man. A weak man. Hallelujah. Strength is not measured. Hallelujah. In fight. Jesus was insulted. He was spat upon. He was beaten. But you know what? He opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. So you stay with the fire. Stay with service in 2021. Do not get into a quarrel with anyone. You stay with the fire. Stay in service. Hallelujah. I close from here. Stay with the men God has given you. Stay with instruction. Stay with the men God has given you. Stay with them. Don't jump around. Stop being powerful around. Stay with the men God has given you. Stay with their instructions. Stay with instructions. Stay with supernatural relationship. Stay committed. This is staying with the fire. Stay winning souls in 2021. Let there be no week in this year that you don't win souls. Minimum of 5. Minimum of 5. Let there be no week you wouldn't go out. Let there be no week. That is the fire. Hallelujah. We have a duty. Hallelujah. This year, we are going to raise 2,000 souls. When we are coming for GPLR 2021, when we come for GPLR 2021, we will be negotiating for a bigger space. Are you hearing me? I don't think by this time next year we'll be here. We'll be negotiating for a bigger space, a bigger opening. You know why? Because we'll win more souls. We are going for 2,000 souls. And we